Welcome to Del Mar Direct, the home of inside information for Southern California racing fans. The only radio show hosted by experts who spend every morning on the backstretch. Thank you for joining us this morning, as I hope you do every Saturday during the Del Mar race meeting. My name is Gary Mandela. I'll be your host for the next hour, along with Toby Terrell. But before we get to Toby, let me tell you how to contact us here on the radio program if you want to take part. To dial in with your phone, 877-792-1090, or you can send me an email at delmardirect@gmail.com. Interesting show lined up for you this morning. As always, we're going to talk to Toby, Larry Zapp, Donald Harris, give you insights into some of the races going to run this weekend. We'll have some interesting interviews with owner Bill Strauss, who has got some really good racehorses here in Southern California, as well as being the brother of Jeffrey Strauss, who runs the Pamplemousse Grill. We will also talk to Tom Lute, Breeders' Cup chairman. Breeders' Cup announcing this Wednesday that the Breeders' Cup will return to Southern California in the year 2012, which is very good news for all Southern California horse racing fans. And for some more good news on what's going on here locally at Del Mar, let me bring in my co-host Toby. Toby, good morning. Del Mar continues to do very well, having good business down here and a very successful meet so far.
Yes, indeed, Gary. And if you haven't been to Del Mar yet, shame on you. I mean, yesterday we had one of our Twilight cards, and I got to tell you, I was here all day and all night long for the races, and I haven't experienced an energy and a noise of the crowd like I have this year at Del Mar. Last night, the last race went off almost in the cover of darkness, and I got to tell you, there was a scream and a roar from the crowd. You mentioned the Breeders' Cup. The big roar that everybody remembers here in California was that roar on Breeders' Cup Day at Santa Anita for Zenyatta. I got to tell you, this reminded me in a micro level of that right here for just a Friday night card at Del Mar. It is happening here, indeed.
The energy level here is absolutely irreplaceable to our circuit. It's a unique experience for us. And if you haven't been yet, as Toby says, you need to make plans on getting out here. You've only got three more weeks or so of racing here at Del Mar. With that, Toby, let's jump into today's card. Very intriguing set of races here on Saturday. Let's start by talking with the fourth race, a wide-open group of two-year-old colts going a little further than some of the maiden races we have seen so far in the meet, stretching out to 6.5 furlongs. What of the babies that you've seen training in the morning can you lend us some insight to?
Yes, this race, you know, we have a new head-to-head bet here at Del Mar, which means you can bet on one horse just to beat the other. Mm-hmm. That hasn't happened in California until this season at Del Mar. They will do that on the feature race here on tomorrow's card. But today we have kind of a head-to-head matchup the way I see it between two two-year-olds in this race because of the fact that they come from two of the top barns, and that's Bob Baffert and Doug O'Neill. And it appears that number one Drill and number eight Fit to Rule kind of hold the aces to win this race. I almost look at this like their own private little match race myself. I think they really have a big edge here. Drill gets the meet's leading rider, Rafael Bejarano, in the saddle for Bob Baffert. Fit to Rule gets Patrick Valenzuela on the outside for Doug O'Neill. Look for Fit to Rule to go scampering out to the lead, and look for Drill to come flying down the lane with one of those patented Rafael Bejarano stretch winning rides. And hopefully when they hit the wire, Drill will get by Fit to Rule to win the race.
Yeah, he certainly looked like the kind of horse when he debuted a couple weeks ago for Bob that he would benefit from a race and figure things out next time. And if people give up on him too fast, maybe we can even get a little bit of a price there. Let me ask you about the fifth race. Usually we discuss the maidens and get your insight into clocking revolving around first-time starters and young horses, Toby. But there's an old class, well, not an old, he's still a three-year-old, but I say old because he's not running sometime. A horse named Jaycito. Become one of the biggest enigmas in all of Southern California racing with all of his little problems and this and that. He's in an allowance race, a drop in class for him, not taking on the big guns today. Are we going to see the Jaycito we've all been waiting for this afternoon, or is he still struggling in the mornings?
Well, a couple of sidelines or sidebars to Jaycito. Let's use this opportunity to first of all congratulate Mike Smith, who will ride Jaycito for his win in the Battle
That's
of
right.
the X's here last Sunday at Del Mar. And let's congratulate Jaycito's old trainer, Mike Mitchell. He became the Del Mar, he put his name in the history books as the all-time winningest trainer at Del Mar, Mike Mitchell, yesterday, getting his 437th win. And I'm been a longtime buddy of Mike Mitchell's, and I think he's just hitting his stride, Gary. Scary for all the rest of the training colony. I think he's going to win.
Late developer?
He's going to be a late developer at this meet and win a lot more races. In fact, when Jay Cito changed hands, Mike was not, he wasn't thrilled, let's put it that way.
Well, of course not.
Bob Baffert took over the training on Jay Cito, but Bob Baffert's line at the time was, if Jay Cito is going to win the Derby, he needs a Derby-winning coach. Well, Jay Cito did not make the big dance there in Kentucky. He didn't make the Kentucky Derby. But what Baffert's doing is doing what smart horsemen do, and he's putting them away and bringing them back when they will do something. And today is the day for Jay Cito, with Hall of Fame jockey Mike Smith putting blinkers on today, Gary. He's supposed to run by this field, I would think, and rely on that class that he was supposed to have.
Well, we'll see if he can pull through in the fifth race and become an important horse for the fall. Certainly a horse to keep your eye on. Let's move to the feature race today. The horses that are already there, already worthy of stakes competition, the La Jolla Handicap. Interesting move here to see the Santa Anita Derby winner, Midnight Interlude, switch to turf after his debacle in the Kentucky Derby. A horse like Burns, who's on the upswing. Which three-year-old do you think has the edge in the La Jolla Handicap today?
I think it's wide open. I'm not sure. Even if a horse has an edge in this race, it's a slight edge. You know, Bob Baffert will have Midnight Interlude again with Rafael Bejarano in the saddle. He is the deserving favorite coming in, and he's doing fantastic. He's training very well. So look for Midnight Interlude to run big, but look for the horse right next to him, a gelding shipping in from Chicago, named Little Bit of Fun, well-named for Del Mar here. Tom Proctor has fired big time with horses here in the last several months since coming to Southern California. Little Bit of Fun, David Flores, veteran rider himself, 10-1 here. Look for him maybe to have a presence in the La Jolla.
David Flores possibly going to have a good weekend here. He's got a couple live mounts in both the feature races. Toby, thanks for getting through the Saturday card with us. We'll check in with you a little bit more towards the end of the show. Right now, I want to segue into our Breeders' Cup report that we do at the same time here every Saturday with Larry Zapp. Larry, you heard Toby talk about today's feature, today's card here at Del Mar. Let's go into Sunday. David Flores rides a pretty good horse in the La Jolla. It's a pretty good filly named Wasted Tears in the John Mabee Stakes, which on occasion has had some fillies come out of there and go on to their Breeders' Cup races. Do you like Wasted Tears in the Mabee, and or do you think anybody else out of there might be Breeders' Cup worthy?
Well, good morning, Gary, and just what a great day of turf racing, or a great weekend of turf racing in store. And, you know, Wasted Tears, as you've seen a lot of this week, has been basically at your dad's barn, and David Flores the other day got to know the filly. It was the idea of Bart Evans, exercise rider, to put David on, because I don't know her name, but
Kelly.
She gets on the horse every day. They get along splendidly, but Flores got to stretch the horse's legs the other day. She looks great. The guy's done just a fabulous job, but I don't see the trip, really, to be quite honest with you, with Celtic Princess in the race.
That's the trick.
It's going to be very tough for, because she kind of likes to do her own thing, and
exactly.
I don't know inside the other horse if she's not going to just fight the whole way. And if that happens, there's too many quality horses in this race, or fillies or mares, that can finish. And I'm looking for Harmonious, the rail horse with Rosario. She looks like she's coming back into her form. I've seen her breeze down the lane on the grass down here. She looks like she's doing as well as ever. She's a big, strong Dynaformer filly, just still filling into that frame. We all remember last year she kind of what she did in the Del Mar Oaks. She was out in the middle of the track against a very tough Evening Jewel, but I think she's starting to put it together mentally, and we know what John's capable of with these fillies and mares. They develop as they go on, and I'm going to go with Harmonious in this race. No knocks on the two speed horses, Celtic Princess or Wasted Tears. I just got a feeling they're going to hook up too early. But I'll tell you, I'm going to also look a little at Malibu Pier. Malibu Pier is developing right in front of my eyes. She's always been a slight, kind of lighter-made filly, but she's starting to put on a body. And I think off of her Beverly Hills last time, not much of a field, but I think she's on the improve, and I'm probably going to throw her in on the bottom somewhere. But for me, it's going to be Harmonious in the John Mabee tomorrow.
With that, let's move on to the big festival of the weekend for the simulcast players and people that want a little taste of what might occur in the Breeders' Cup. Three very good grass races at Arlington Park: the Secretariat, the Beverly D, the Arlington Million, and let's start there. Always a clash between European horses versus American horses. We saw a little bit of Cape Bianco the other day in New York. He looked like he was miles better than any of the New York turf horses. Can anybody beat him in there today, Larry?
Well, you know, it doesn't look like it. I mean, he looks like maybe he's acclimated beautifully here, Cape Bianco has, and it was such an authoritative win. I'm a big Giopani fan. I'm going to be rooting for Giopani. He's got a lot of people knocking what Ramon Dominguez does on him. Obviously, his trainer, Christophe Clement, doesn't believe that because he keeps Ramon on permanently on this horse, and sometimes he just makes his run a little too late. I'd like to see him try to use him a little sooner. At that point, I would consider it a possible horse race, but off his last race, Cape Blanco is no doubt the horse to beat. I'll root for Giopani, but the other one I like to root for is the rail horse, Ra Estrada. This is an old, hard-knocking son of Rahi. Mm-hmm. He's visited the claiming ranks a couple of years ago. I actually cashed a bet in a 50 claimer on him 2 Octobers ago at Keeneland, and he's really coming off a nice win at Colonial Downs, and bottom line is he might fill the trifecta for me, but I think it's going to be hopefully a two-horse race, and it's going to just be hard for Ramon Dominguez unless he puts this horse in a position to get the job done to beat Cape Blanco, but Cape Blanco and Gioponte are probably the race.
And the Arlington Million at 1.25 miles on the turf for the older horses. Going 1.3 miles on the grass in the Secretariat for just the three-year-olds. Different group. Some nice American horses in this race, but a spectacular European horse in Treasure Beach, who's going to be very tough to deny in here.
Well, you know, I see the Irish Derby win, and basically...
That doesn't impress you?
It impresses me, but it was at 1.5 miles, and it was on, you know, a ground with a lot more give to it.
We're going to get a report on that coming up, Larry, after you get off. I hear there could be quite a bit of rain there today.
Yeah, I have not seen that because I just looked at weather.com on my phone, and it did not indicate that. So I'd be very interested to know that. But I'm telling you what, I'm going with the 7-horse band. I first saw this horse at a yearling sale two Octobers ago, and I fell in love with him. Couldn't buy him because he was a little too steep for me. Watch Glen Hill Farm by him, outbid actually Dale Romans. They were on either side of me, and I was just in very deep. I've watched his horse develop, and I thought he got not the greatest of rides by Lescano last time. He gets Garrett Gomez, who we all saw the American turf on Kentucky Oaks Day. That was a brilliant effort. It was a brilliant turn of foot, and I think Gomez just had him measured and figured out when to move on him, and he's the one who kind of taught him had a raid in the morning, but I think Band is the horse to beat. Wilcox Inn has won the first two legs of this series, this beautiful turf series for three-year-olds that they run at Arlington, the Arlington Classic and American Derby, and obviously Treasure Beach. I think it's a three-horse race, but I'm hoping to get a little value on Band. I think he's an up-and-comer, and I think he's the kind of horse that might represent America in the Breeders' Cup later in the year.
You talk about a not-so-great ride. Well, let's move to the Beverly D, and a filly's going to go off favor there that I loved in her last race at Monmouth, and I thought she got a very poor ride for a European filly coming to America, Stace Alita. I thought the jock moved way too early, let her hit the front, and a lot of European horses will pull themselves up after they do that, and I thought that filly did just that. Do you agree with me that she's the deserving favorite in the Beverly D?
She's 6-5 even money in this race, and you know, it was kind of a questionable ride by Jersey Joe Bravo. She gets Dominguez today. She has the race in the States. She's going to get over bad, and I always try to look for horses that maybe can beat a horse like that, because you know, on turf, you got to get the trip. The 6 River Jets, Jetez is very interesting. Michael DeCock showing up. 8-year-old with 12 wins. She shows a bunch of grade one form. That Singapore Airlines International race only had a 5-horse field, but I got to see that race, and I thought it was very impressive. I think she's very interesting. Cheetah right next to her made a huge run for Christophe Clement in a grade three at Delaware. She'd have to step up her game a little bit, but she looks like one of those up-and-comers, and a horse that's been very good to me at the windows has been Never Retreat. She's not going to impress you with any grade one form, but she looked really good last time winning the Dance Smartly at Woodbine, and these Woodbine shippers go Saratoga, Arlington, and they do very, very well, and they
Absolutely.
Get overlooked by the bettors. So I wouldn't be afraid to look at that. And maybe just the other horse they throw in. And I'm not sure what to do off Polytrack for him, but Patch Attack, the 8 horse. Winning by 6 was very authoritative in the Arlington Matron last time. She has decent form on the turf. If she can translate her Polytrek form, it could make this a very interesting race. Eclair de Lune won it last year. She's off form, but you got to root for Richard Duchessois. He cried like he won the Derby. I mean, yeah. We all know what the Beverly D means to him, and it was just so emotional to watch it. And I'll have a soft spot just if that filly can be competitive here. But all that said, Stace Alita is the horse to beat, and she'll probably get way over bet.
She probably will be. Larry, thank you for the Breeders' Cup report. Certainly appreciate it. Larry going over the Arlington races with us there, and we've got somebody live in Chicago to give us a little bit of insight into exactly what's going on there. Former Fox producer for some horse racing shows, a current owner of some horses, along with the Little Red Feather Group, Don Abrams. Don, good morning. Thanks for joining us and helping us take a look at the Arlington Million Weekend.
Hey, thanks, Gary. Good to talk to you. And I thought Larry obviously covered it really, really well. You know, the big story here is the presence of some really strong Europeans, more than probably in most recent memory, of those of which you've gone over. The story right now is the weather, and that's really what we wanted to talk about. The turf is listed as good, but it's really going to be a good firm. And even given some rain this afternoon, which they're forecasting, but I tell you, it's doing pretty well right now. It's a Chamber of Commerce day. Even if it comes down, I don't think it's going to get too soft. The Euros come in for this firm turf, and that is going to be to their advantage. You'll right. notice their forms. They like it. That's what Aidan O'Brien's here for. Mm-hmm. He puts his horses on Lasix for the first time as a group, as opposed to you might have seen him in a couple of Breeders' Cups before where one might have and one might have not. So the Europeans and the European media think they have this race hand over fist, all three of these races, frankly. And aside from the couple others that you mentioned, I'm in agreement with them.
You were there at the breakfast draw. Was there a lot of buzz and energy in the room for that? Do you think this this weekend's going to be very well received by the public, and Arlington will have a good afternoon business-wise?
I think so, absolutely. And especially here in Chicago, it's a big day because the media has stepped up, and this race is going to be broadcast on WGN national TV, as a matter of fact. WGN locally, 5 o'clock to 5:30 here, so 2 hours obviously prior there if you're not at Del Mar. But getting the national broadcast of this race is really a big thing for the track. There is a lot of hype, and as I said, these European media guys are here, and they're just they're clenching their fists and ready to empty their pockets.
Yeah, you know, here at Del Mar, it's tough to get away from everything that's going on when you're on track because it's such a great event in and of itself. But strongly encourage anybody that's at the track to try and keep up with these races. Three very good fields in Arlington for the Secretariat, the Beverly D, and the Arlington Million. Don, thanks for joining us, giving us a little bit of insight there locally as to what's going to go on this afternoon. And hopefully we'll have you back on a couple more times before the show's over.
Best. All there, good friends, and my friends at Little Red Feather. Take care.
Thank you, Don. And with that, we'll switch gears a little bit and welcome in a good friend of the program, Bill Strauss, an owner here in Southern California, an accomplished businessman in his own right. I'd like to sit down and talk to you about some of the things that are going on racing. Bill, thanks for joining us this morning. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, Gary. Good morning.
Tell us about Turbulent Descent, Philly. You own a little bit of a piece of, won an awfully prestigious race in Saratoga last weekend, did it like a legitimate Breeders' Cup filly. What's it like to own a piece of a horse that's got that much talent?
You know, I've been owning horses for 3 years now, and I've had a bunch of horses. And the reason why I got into the game was to find a horse like Turbulent Descent. I mean, we had the Pompamoose, one of our very first horses, and we never thought we'd see one like that. And this filly is just amazing. I mean, 6 for 8, 3 grade 1 wins, a grade 2 win, her only 2 losses, she came second in grade 1 races. It's just the most exciting thing. It's why you become an owner in this sport. It gets you out of bed. We went to Saratoga last week. There was nothing like winning a grade 1 race. It's just a great feeling. I don't know how to describe it. And then I was back at the track here at Del Mar by Sunday at post time, and I felt like a conquering hero coming back. All the congratulations, and it was just a lot of fun. It's just a great ride to have a filly like that.
She ran terrific. You mentioned you've owned horses for 3 years. Short window in terms of horse race ownership. How did you go from, is it fair for me to call you a tech guy, a software guy with the businesses that you'd run and been a part of? How did you go from that, the Pamplemousse Grill, to, well, I'm going to go ahead and own some race horses? How did that transpire?
I've always loved the sport. I've loved the sport of horse racing ever since I was a young kid. It's my passion. I work for a living to fund my passion, which is horse racing. And I wanted to own for many, many years, and it's a tough business to break into. I wanted to make sure that I did it right. And I got to know Alex Solis Jr. years ago, And I watched some of the, you know, the success he had with his owners. And I approached him one day and I said, you know, I'd love to own a racehorse. I'd love to do something with you. And he said, great. And we got into the racehorses that way. And it's just been a great ride. It's been great success and just a whole lot of fun. And it's great to pursue your passion from every perspective. I mean, I'm here in the backstretch at Del Mar 3-4 days a week. And I enjoy the mornings just as much as I enjoy the afternoons. Now, nothing's like winning a race like a grade one test. But I do just love being around the animals. It's great in the morning, watching them train.
You get a better trophy when you win a grade one, though, than when your horse breezes well in the morning. That's the thing.
That is true.
A filly that might be headed in that direction that caught a lot of people's attention the first week of the meet here, Orientatious, won an allowance race very impressively. What's next for her? Will we see her again at Del Mar?
We hope to see her again at Del Mar. She's a 2-for-3 filly. She won the opening Saturday at Del Mar. Looked very impressive doing a beat a stakes place filly that day as well. She's a real runner. A little bit of a cough and a little bit of mucus right now. We're dealing with it. We're hoping it gets better in the next couple of days and get her back in training. She's a very fit horse, and hopefully we'll put her on the surf stake on the very last day of the meet is the target right now if we can get her healthy. It's just a little cough, a little mucus, but we got to get her better. But she's a runner.
Yeah, she definitely has a lot of talent underneath her. You got into the business not through a syndicate, but by going into partners with people and a group that's been set up for you. For people that are interested in feeling out the game and seeing maybe they want to be involved in ownership or not, would you recommend that to other people with the experience that you've had? Has that been, do you think, the right fit to get started?
I would definitely recommend that as a way to get into the business. It's an expensive, you know, sport to get into, expensive hobby. And I think you get just as much enjoyment out of owning 10, 15, 20% of a horse as you do 100% of a horse. And by investing in a bunch of different horses and different partnerships, you can buy more horses. There are some horses get injured, some don't become what you think they're going to become. So it lets you spread your bets a little bit and spread your risk out a little bit. I would highly, highly recommend that approach. I mean, we've had great partners. And not only does it let you get into more horses, but you get to meet some great people and have some great partners as well. And so we've had built some great relationships over time with partners. You know, when you have a horse, you know, we'll go out for dinners afterwards and celebrate and come together in the mornings. So, yeah, I would highly, highly recommend a partnership on so many levels. There's really no downside to it.
You've had a good partnership with your brother over the years. You guys get along very well. Of course, everyone's familiar with the Pamplemousse Grill right across the street from Del Mar, one of Del Mar's best dining experiences here for a long time. Tell everybody what you and your brother are doing for charity this coming Sunday with Chantal Sutherland and Mike Smith, kind of continuing on with the Battle of the X's theme, and the money's going to go to a retired horse foundation called Karma.
Yeah, so we're very involved in the business, as you know. The success of our restaurant, the Pamplemousse Grill, has been a lot driven by the horse racing industry. It's right across the street from the track. And so we're very big believers in giving back to causes that help us or that are important to us, and Karma, I think, fits both of those. So Jeff offered his house. We're going to have about 100 people, and it's almost sold out right now. All the proceeds that we collect will be donated back. We're donating all the food and all the drinks back to the cause. And it's just a great cause, and it should be a great night. I mean, the food there is spectacular at the restaurant, and it's going to be the same quality up there. And to top that off, and we're, you know, we leveraged a little bit off with it with the track did last week with all the interest that Chantal and Mike got the horse racing. They are going to do a cook-off. Now, I was told that the one thing Chantal can make is a reservation, and Mike can barely pour cereal into a bowl.
Now, Mike, on my show last Saturday, he would not speak to the match race on the racetrack. He guaranteed victory Joe Namath style in the cook-off.
Yeah. Well, he must have eaten Chantal's food before
That's
then.
That's what he said.
But it should be a lot of fun, and the food will actually be helped with the with the staff at the restaurant to make sure people eat good food. But it's going to be a lot of fun.
That's very kind of you.
Yes, well, we had to do that for the people. And hopefully there'll be some good trash talking between them, and it's going to be a really fun event with some really good food and some really good people.
If you're looking for an excuse to hang out with some racing insiders, owners, press, trainers, jockeys, donate a little money to charity, been looking for an excuse to go to the Pamplemousse, and maybe you haven't done it yet this Del Mar meet, this is a great way to do it. $250 per person. But like Bill just said, they're getting close to the max. Jeffrey doesn't want any more than 100 people there because it is at his house. So make sure and call area code 626-574-6622. Ask for Lucinda, and she will make a reservation for you, and then you can just pay at the door. And like Bill said, only a few seats remaining in that for tomorrow evening. Starts at 6:30?
Right after the race at 6:30.
6:30. So thank you for helping your brother and taking care of all that. Great to have you as a part of the sport. We've really enjoyed seeing all the success that you've had, and thank you for joining us this morning on Del Mar Direct, Bill.
I love the sport, and thanks for having me this morning.
All right.
It's been my pleasure.
Appreciate it very much. Before we move on to our next guest, Mike Schutte, a very good handicapper in his own right, he's going to tell us about some of the things that he's doing. Let me get in just a quick word about another one of our sponsors, Legacy Ranch. Check out the website, LegacyRanchIncorporatedINC.com. This is Pete Perella's farm in Clements, California. Some great barns and track that you can see there on the website. Also the home of Papa Clem, who many people expect to be one of the really top sires here in Southern California in the next coming years. If you've got some mares, some horses need to be raised, broken, Legacy Ranch can help you out a lot there. So check out the website, LegacyRanchInc.com. Mike, thanks for sitting down with us here at the paddock at Del Mar. Appreciate a chance to get to know you a little bit better and talk about some of the things that you've got going. Welcome, and thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much. It's great really to be here, Gary.
You've obviously a noted handicapper. People know you by your reputation and some of the success that you've had in tournaments and so on and so forth. Tell us a little bit about the website that you're involved with, horseracingnation.com.
Horse Racing Nation, this is a site that we started about 2 years ago, one of the fastest growing sites. Now we have over 100,000 unique visitors coming each month. And what we set out to do is create a social media site where we wanted passionate racing fans to engage with content not only that we created but they contributed to, as well as an environment where they can engage with fellow racing fans that share that same passion. And in taking that a step further, next week we're launching a very unique online handicapping tournament platform. For those who've played online poker tournaments, it looks somewhat familiar in that there'll be frequent games, low buy-ins, cash prizes, and a lot of great social interaction while you're playing.
I'm really excited about this. We had your partner John Doyle on a couple weeks ago and talk about this. Give the name of that website out and go into a little bit more detail about it.
Sure, that's derbywars.com. We are going to be doing a soft launch on August 20th, which would be a week from today. We have also some invitational tournaments that we're lining up for some of the top handicapping tournament players. And it appears that we will also be working with a couple of other organizations to support a lot of data to be supplied to the handicappers so that they can basically have a one-stop shop experience while they're doing the tournament.
I think this is a terrific idea. A long time in the coming, I really hope that the sport embraces it the way that I think that it will. I hope you get a lot of support from the racetracks and everybody else to make this fly. I think that embracing this tournament style of handicapping is something that can really take the exposure horse racing gets to another level, and I wish you and John all the luck in the world with that. As good as handicapper as you are, well, I've got you sat down. I've got to get a couple opinions out of you. I'm always been a big fan of this Arlington Million Weekend and the races. Larry and I talked about the favorites, Cape Bianco, Stay Salita, Treasure Beach. Can you help us get away from the favorites at all in any of those races? How do you feel Europeans versus Americans in these situations? Give us a little insight.
Absolutely. Being a Chicagoan that visits here every summer, Arlington Park's the home course, and so I've been able to enjoy every single one of those runnings. And what's interesting is that people do tend to focus on the favorites coming in over from Europe. But if you look at it historically, the favorites do okay. But there are, just like last year, Debussy, for example, comes in at a very nice price. And I think some of the what would be considered the less glamorous Euros get overlooked. So for today, for example, in the Secretariat, a lot of folks on the ground in Chicago reported that this horse, Zayarit, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that right, is looking absolutely fantastic, has a strong cruising speed, and I think the distance here is going to be perfect. And it looks like we're going to get quite a bit of rain in Chicago, as it turns out, and this horse just relishes the soft turf.
Interesting look there. Mike, thank you for sitting down and joining us for a couple of minutes. I really appreciate it. Good luck with everything that you're doing on the internet. Good luck in the tournaments you're going to participate in the rest of the year, and very much enjoyed having you and getting a little insight.
An absolute delight to be here, Gary. Thanks.
With that, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, chairman of the Breeders' Cup board, Tom Lute, will join us to give us some details about the Breeders' Cup coming back to Southern California in 2012.
The big one.
Go out, make the play individually. You take it into your hand. You make the play right now.
San Diego's sports leader, Double X 1090.
While in Mexico, more than 16,000 abortions per year are practiced, the Social Encounter Party defends the future of our young children and families. In Baja California, we defend the right to life from conception to natural death. Be part of this project and say yes to life. Yes to life.
XEPRS, Rosarito, Baja California.
Mexicans don't have to be affected by monopolistic practices. The Senate approved the competence law. Now these practices will be sanctioned by up to 10 years of prison. In this way, you will have more quality and variety of products and services. The economy will reactivate and there will be more jobs. Chamber of Senators, 61st Legislature. Agreements to put Mexico towards growth. Noe Sanchez Arcadio is living in Orizaba and is living month to month, always thinking about the rent, electricity, water. And then his wife said, let's look for a house. He saved to buy a house.
Their son is very happy now that they have their own house and has even made new friends.
Being able to afford a house has changed their lives.
With facts, a stronger Mexico is being built. Fifth Government Inform. Federal government. This program is public unrelated to any political party and shall not be used for purposes other than stated in the program.
Scott and BR. You get a sports fun fest. Weekday morning, 6 to 10 on San Diego's sports leader, Double X 1090.
Welcome back to Del Mar Direct. Broadcasting live from the paddock here at beautiful Del Mar Racetrack. Great card on hand here for a Saturday afternoon, Arlington Million weekend as well. So a lot of races to keep track of and have fun with. After the races, you certainly want to think about checking out Burlap. Brian Malarkey, the celebrity chef, has opened up a new restaurant basically on the corner of Del Mar Heights and El Camino Real. If you're looking for something that tastes a little bit quote-unquote Asian cowboy, this is the restaurant for you. Very good opening here in the last couple weeks. Brian Malarkey, a great guy, a great supporter of horse racing, so you want to check that out before the meet gets over. Thank you to our sponsor, Burlap Restaurant, for helping us get Del Mar Direct on the air. And the reason we are on the air is to bring in people like our next guest, Breeders' Cup Chairman Tom Lute, calling us from Saratoga, where he's shopping the New York bred sale there for yearlings. So, Tom, thanks for taking a few minutes of time to join us and give us some information.
No problem. Glad to do so.
Tom, Breeders' Cup announcing this Wednesday that you will be returning to Santa Anita in the year 2012. That's great news for all of us here that are Southern California racing fans. Tell us about some of the details of how that decision got made.
Well, you know, as you know, we've done a rotation, and it's something that we've always done, and it was actually Belmont Week. We had the tracks that were interested. We put out bid specs, and as you're probably familiar with the tracks, for the most part, to put in their bids. And it's always a tough challenge. I'm the new chairman. At the time, we didn't even have a current president, as Avioli had resigned. But we listen to the tracks, and we try to make a decision that we think is in the best interest of horse racing, as well as in the best interest of, you know, the horses. And I'm taking a lot of slack right now sitting in New York with the heat that we didn't come to New York. But we thought it was the right decision to come to Santa Anita, and we're looking forward to it.
I'm sorry, Tom, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, as you know, we were there for 2 years in a row a couple of years ago, and we had great success. It was a wonderful time. It's going to be a different environment in 2012, obviously, because we'll be on dirt versus the synthetic. But, you know, it's a tough decision because some people on the board want to make sure we keep the rotation and be a good ambassador for the game, and then there's other people that, you know, have their own opinions on different reasons, and it's probably the benefit of having an elected board. Not always going to be unanimous, which is probably healthy, but at the same time, we try our best to do what's best for horse racing and best for Breeders' Cup.
You talked about some of the blowback, for lack of a better word, from the people around New York and East Coast fans that it wasn't going back there this year. One of your board members, Satish Sanon, spoke to that a couple days ago in an interview, talking about part of the decision to come to California being financial and Breeders' Cup being more profitable when it's run in Southern California. Can you give us a couple of the reasons you think you make more money holding it in California than you do in New York?
Well, first of all, unfortunately, some of those comments that he made on there were incorrect. We don't have to cut purses to go to Belmont. We don't have to make some of these changes. I'm not really sure where some of those quotes came from, but you know, there were, Belmont obviously made a presentation to come in 2012, and it is true that we will, quote, make more money at Santa Anita, but that by no means is the decision to go there. We're a nonprofit organization. Obviously, we try to be very profitable driven so that we can put more money into the purses, but you know, the decision comes down to facilities, the ability to attract fans, to provide the right environment for the horses. I mean, it's not that we sit down and look at, okay, who spends the most money. Santa Anita did want it, and they've been very cooperative. The state of California and the city have been very cooperative. So there's a lot of things that go into these proposals. It's quite complex. It takes a lot of work for each track to make the presentation. So obviously, if you are making a presentation, you don't get it, I would expect to be disappointed, no different than we are when we and Binary make a run on the spine and don't get it. I mean, that's just part of business.
Exactly. I couldn't be doing this show from the Del Mar paddock on the biggest sports station that broadcasts out of San Diego and not ask you the next question. Will Del Mar ever host a Breeders' Cup?
You know, the answer is definitely not no. I'm a new chairman, as you know. The board's changed around a little bit. We've been on a rotation process. There's been dialogue out about a single location. I think one of the reasons there would be hope is I'm glad I'm not in Del Mar right now. There might be a few people that are upset that we stole Craig Fravel away from Del Mar. So
I can tell you for sure Joe Harper is.
You've got some insider here that's probably going to push that. And to be blunt about it, you know, we're getting some interesting feedback right now about our decision. And the host site committee, which is going to become much more livelier, is going to sit down here in the next 60 days. And we're going to sit down and try to map out a strategy of going back to look at, you know, a single site, the rotation. As you know, we rotated quite a bit and reached out to a lot of different places, Lone mm-hmm. Star, Woodbine.
Monmouth, sure.
And so that's definitely not off the table. It's complicated because here's where it gets complex is, you know, we try to run a program that provides as much purse money as possible. So therefore, we try to create a market where we have sponsorship and also have a facility that can entertain and provide the right atmosphere for the fan. And so that's when it becomes economic. And so, you know, we have to do a better job, in my opinion, of sitting down further in advance, kind of like Super Bowls do. And I've talked about it, like, you know, the PGA and different sporting events, getting this kind of mapped out much further in advance so we can get a better effort from the community as well as, you know, the industry to make sure we're maximizing our opportunity for the horsemen. The long answer is it's definitely not ruled out.
It's interesting to hear you talk about the dynamics between the two arguments of the rotation and the permanent Breeders' Cup home site. I think people listening would be very interested in hearing your comments on that and very intrigued. A little bit different direction in revolving the Breeders' Cup. You're in New York, and there is the central hot topic has been race medication because a lot of the meetings and the roundtables are going to go on back there. And Breeders' Cup's been right in the middle of that. Do you believe, as the chairman, that Breeders' Cup and the events that run under its name should be the moral true north for racing to look to and really lead the charge in the changes in the medication policy in our industry?
Well, as far as leading the charge, that's a challenge. I think the reason that the Breeders' Cup feels led to do what we've done is we feel like we're a very large international event. And so I guess in some ways, yes, we're leading the charge because we're trying to match the international standards. Unfortunately, as you probably know, and some people need to become more educated about it, the international standard isn't quite black and white, but we're trying to conform and we are trying to lead in a lot of ways. It's one of my missions as the chairman is to be a better leader of the industry. Now, we don't plan to be the leader, but I think mm-hmm. we're an organization that's financially healthy. I think we're one of the few organizations that has great stature outside of the Triple Crown. You know, it's a crowning weekend. Are we the international best day of race, weekend of racing? That's debatable, but we feel like we provide, you know, 15 quality races that would be standing up to anybody. So we're trying, as you know, I don't know how much people know on the show, but, you know, the international stallion nominations, and we're reaching into the Southern Hemisphere. So we feel very led to be an international player. And one of the things that goes on everywhere in the world except for the United States, in North America is LASIX, and so that's what led this change.
Great to hear you make the comments about that. It's certainly issues that are going to be debated here for a number of months, maybe even a number of years to come as those changes occur. And the more debate we have about them before those changes get made, the better off to make the most educated decisions that we can. That's a lot of discussion about being chairman of the Breeders' Cup. Tom, I want to give you a little opportunity to speak a little more personally about being the president of the Vinery and what you do with the stallions that you have there in Lexington.
Well, we've made a big step forward here in New York, as I'm sitting in New York. You know, we've acquired two farms in New York, and we're making a strong move into the New York market. We think it's one of the reasons I'm taking a lot of heat as the chairman of Breeders' Cup. But, you know, the slot machines are hitting Aqueduct here this October. Right. The purse structure is going to dramatically change. You know, not only just the stallions of Vinery, we're a big racing organization, and one of the things that this this industry needs is we need opportunity for people buying racehorses to earn their money back. Mm-hmm. It's never going to be a proposition balance, but at the same time, it's as you know, you've trained and your dad trains, it's a very, very difficult game, and seeing the purse structure being changed at New York is very enlightening. As you know, this industry needs some shiny moments, and we just see New York as a blossoming area, so we've made the investment to come up here. But, you know, we stand stallions in Florida and Kentucky and in New York, and we've become a pretty big player. We're excited about it. I'm excited about New York. But, you know, the stallion market is tough because we follow the stock market, and as you know, things aren't really solid right now.
A little on the volatile side this week.
Kind of like the stallion market. It's kind of up and down.
A little bit up and down. Tom, you talk about the ownership side of the Vinery and the places that you're involved with. Now, you were in Southern California a couple years ago. We used to see your colors here. And you've chosen to leave, and we are facing a shortage of owners here in Southern California. What could the whole group, the racetracks, the ownership group, everybody all involved, what could be done to entice somebody like you to come back and try California again?
Well, I sent a bunch of yearlings out there before. I actually had a couple there. Our last horse just got retired, so we just literally pulled out. We ran at Del Mar opening week. But it's a challenge. I mean, I can only speak from this, from my perspective in Kentucky. One of the difficulties is when you do ship from here, you know, from Kentucky out there, you're out there and you don't have the options. And it's one of the huge advantages of being on the East Coast is you have so much diversity of tracks that it's a lot more inexpensive to move around. And you know, if you obviously, the hardest part for us, and it's a learning curve, was when we came out to California, if we didn't have a good horse, where do you run it? Where, you know, in the eastern part of the United States, there's a little bit more what I would call a selection of A, B, and C tracks, and you know, that's really talking about the quality. But I think the biggest thing for California is you know, and listen, I'm the last guy to give advice out there other than the fact the purse structure has to be commensurate with the costs. And, you know, as I look at our racing stable, we separate out those books, and it is so expensive right now to train. And so if you can't be competitive, you lose money. And I don't care how much money people have, it's very discouraging to race horses and lose money. So I believe we've got to work on our purse structure, but I don't think that's just California. You know, there's a lot of ideas out there, but there's no doubt in my mind we've got to find ways to pour money, more of the gambling money and the infrastructure back into purses to excite people back into racing.
I agree with you 100%. Tom, really appreciate you taking the time to join us. You've always been one of the brightest guys in the game going all the way back to the Cromwell days. That's why you've been successful with the Vinery. That's why you've gotten the opportunity to be chairman of the Breeders' Cup. Thank you for joining us, giving people a lot of insight into how the Breeders' Cup works and some of the decisions that are made, and we appreciate your time very much.
No problem. Take care.
All right. Good luck at the yearling sales there coming up this weekend at Saratoga. Okay. Going now from one owner of racehorses to another, we will welcome in Billy Koch for our Ownership 101 segment, which we always have here. Billy, obviously the president of Little Red Feather Racing, doing well here. Had some horses run very well. Having a good Del Mar so far,
yeah,
Billy?
You know, we had such a great Hollywood Park. We won 13 races there, and we came down here.
I didn't realize it was
that
many.
We won 13 races at Hollywood Park. We come down here.
You lost a lot of conditions.
We lost a lot of conditions. We had a lot of horses claimed, so we knew we were a little light, and we haven't won a race yet.
But they're running good.
They're running good. We've had like 3 seconds, 4 thirds. You know, it's... Mm-hmm. That the filly that I told you about last time I was on ran awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully she'll come back to the end before the end of the meet. And
sure.
So we're looking to get off the schneid at some point.
I didn't realize it was 13. That was even a better meet at Hollywood than I realized.
It was crazy.
We always give away a box seat for the next Wednesday here on the show with the email. So let me get to that. This week we got an email from Marcy, lives in San Bernardino, and she asked an interesting question. If she's interested in getting into a partnership like yours or syndicate, would she be better off getting into one that involves a California bred than something that's bred outside because of some of the bonuses that she's read about. I'm obviously paraphrasing a little bit of the email, but
sure. It's a great question.
How do you advise your people that want to get in?
And
use the cowbred bonuses that are around?
The cowbred system that we have in place right now is so great because of those bonuses. Obviously, there's the maiden bonus, which is down here in the South. If you win a maiden special weight with a cowbred or a cowbred maiden special weight, it's $20,000 to the owner.
Yeah.
So that is one. Also, when you end up running in open races, you have those breeders' bonuses too that are, you know, what's the percentage, Gary? You probably know more than I do. It's like 10-15%.
Yeah, I can't remember which. It's one or the other.
Look, we had a filly, I think 2 years ago, named Hot and Dusty. Do you remember her?
Good filly.
They called her the Iron Mare and Barry Abrams, and we had a partnership with Madeline Auerbach, and she just would run second and second and win and then run second and second. Before you knew it, she had earned over $300,000 in a year. So you can make a lot of money with cowbreds. And I think that, you know, for us, we do look at cowbreds. We have one right now named Unusual Beam that we bought with Madeline again. And I think it's great to have, and it's great to support our California program. Cowbreds make up 50% of the races here. I don't know if you knew that, but so we need people investing in cowbreds, and I think it's a very important point. So yes, look for cowbreds if you are going to get in a partnership. Sometimes we have them, sometimes we don't. We look for the best available horse we can find, but it definitely is an advantage to buy cowbred.
Very interesting. Do you think, from your perspective, the way that you go about selecting your horses, is the real value in getting into a cowbred maybe as a yearling and putting that little bit of more time into it because of the maiden bonus, or are you just as well off claiming a cowbred because they run for that, what is it, 20% extra on top of the purse, or 15%?
Yeah.
It's somewhere in that neighborhood they run for extra. So there's benefits to both sides, but which do you prefer personally?
Personally, I like getting involved early on just because that's just my people, my partners, and the people in Little Red Feather. I think they like to get to know the horse. They like to, you know, they like to be a part of it. They like to see the debut. This game is all about hope.
Absolutely.
And when you get in on a horse before the horse ever runs, there's something about that first start. There's something about two-year-olds. There's just something about it that captures our imagination, and it says this could be the one, you know. And so that would be our preference, but to each his own. And I think just going out there and, you know, I wish there was more. You know, the breeding industry in California has really taken a hit lately. We've lost some very big farms
Leaves a window of opportunity if you think about it.
Yeah.
If you're willing to take the time, which I know your
syndicate's
not always about that.
I like what Pete Perella did with Papa Clem. I mean, I think he's got an unbelievable opportunity there, and I hope, you know, I'm a good friend of Pete's, and I hope that I hope he's successful.
But if you're willing to take the time to wait for a mare to have 11 months before she has her baby, a couple years to get to the racetrack, the foal crop in California has gone down markedly in the last 3 or 4 years, which means from the economic standpoint of supply and demand, there's not going to be enough cowbreds in the next 3 years, and so you might have a big fish in a small pond.
No, now's the time. I mean, if you're going to do it now.
And don't be afraid to breed to Singletary.
No, he's up at Harris Farms. I was listening to you talk about the Breeders' Cup, and with all due respect to New York, I'm so happy it's in California. Aren't you?
Absolutely. Member of the TOC.
The last time I was in New York for the Breeders' Cup, it was so cold. It was miserable.
It was. I ran a horse that year.
Yeah, who wants to?
He ran great, but
taste
it was freezing.
Of paradise.
It was absolutely freezing.
So cold. It was the coldest day I've ever seen. So I thank God. I don't want to say it, but I'm glad it's in California.
We certainly love having it. We don't get any of the Triple Crown races here.
Right.
You know, because those don't revolve around. So it is the biggest weekend we have in Southern California. It's as much as you and I love Pacific Classic Day, Santa Anita Handicap Day, what have you. It is when it's in Southern California, it's the biggest racing event of the year, and I think our fans support it very well because of that.
Oh, it was huge when Zenyatta was running a couple years ago, and
both days were
unreal. I mean, really. And it was so beautiful. The weather was perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, the crowd was huge. It was great for the sport, and hopefully we'll do it again next year.
I hope so. I would actually be interested to see it get a chance at being the permanent site, but That's for other people to argue that are a lot smarter than I am, and we'll let them make those decisions.
Exactly.
Like
me,
you, you're a TOC
too.
Board member. You're smarter than I am.
No,
you get involved in that kind of stuff. Billy,
listeners,
thank you for...
I'm not smarter than Gary Mandela. Do not listen to him.
Billy, thank you for joining us. I appreciate you taking your time. As always, Marcy, look for those tickets at the clubhouse. We'll call for the Little Red Feather box. If you want to try and have that box next Wednesday, give Billy an email at billy@littleredfeather.com.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
You got it. With that, let's bring in one of our clockers that we like to speak to every week, Donald Harris up at Santa Anita. Don, before we get into what's going on in New York, maybe what's going on in Del Mar, you're at Santa Anita with a new surface having been installed. Give me a little bit of outlook on how that surface is doing so far.
I think it's fine. Like I mentioned on a previous show, I think the track's a little deeper right now. It's just playing a little slower, not as not those freeway times that we saw a while back, which I actually think is probably a good thing. But Gary, as you know, I think most tracks you can't tell until you get the full traffic of live meets, how it handles all the horses in the population, and also how it handles weather over time, whether it's rain or whether it's those really hot days. That's when you find out how good a racetrack is, at least I think.
We have had extraordinary weather through the summer here in Southern California. Like you say, what we'll test it is when we get into that typical September oak tree racing type weather where it can get up to 100 in the afternoons and see how it handles that.
No, absolutely.
Very good point. Let's jump into the races at Saratoga since you do such a good job analyzing those races. The Sword Dancer, an interesting look. We've talked a lot about the Arlington Million. Same sort of Breeders' Cup future for these horses and the Sword Dancer. Not quite as good a group, but an old horse that people will remember, Drosselmeyer, trying something a little bit different in there. Does he have any shot?
Yeah, that's the most interesting horse in the race, and just in terms of value, if you want to gamble on the race, and the fact that he's getting back on grass for the first time in, I'm not sure how long, since he was a maiden. I'm not an expert on pedigree. I would throw a question at you. What do you think of his pedigree when it comes to grass?
You know, it's interesting. He's out of a Moscow Ballet mare, I believe, which is a Nijinsky line, and that certainly gives you a shot. Distorted Humors are just good at everything, short, long, turf, grass. So, like you say, there's enough there to make you want to include him, but he's not Sadler's Wells out of a Caerleon mare at the same time, and you're not just dead certain. But of the proven turf horses, who do you think has the advantage?
You know what? I kept going back to this number five, Boisterous. In this kind of race where, as you mentioned, I don't think there's a star. We don't have a Gio Ponti. So why not go with a horse that just looks like he keeps getting better? And Boisterous fits that bill for me. I loved his effort in the Man of War. There's no shame in running behind Gio Ponti and Kate Blanco in that race. And he just strikes me as a colt that is still improving. And he's going to get a great trip. He has to answer the distance question, and that's one of the things with Drosselmeyer. At least you know Drosselmeyer. He's not going to have a problem with the mile and a half.
Right.
But Boisterous, I think he gets the trip. If he handles the distance, I really think he's good enough to beat this group. 4-1 is a nice price.
It'll be an interesting race, to be certain. The other interesting feature on the weekend at Saratoga will be the Adirondack Stakes. Obviously, graded two-year-old fillies. A lot of attention going to be paid to a good debut, My Miss Aurelia. Is the race as simple as her at a short price, or can a couple other two-year-old fillies maybe take her down here?
You know what, Gary? I haven't actually looked at that race very closely yet. I know the filly you're mentioning, which is she's probably going to be very tough, but I'm going to have to pass on it because I just haven't looked at the race close enough.
Sure. What about any of the maiden races here either today or tomorrow at Del Mar? Had anything trained up at Santa Anita caught your eye coming down here? I noticed a couple horses training at Santa Anita have won down here as first-time starters, and Mike Mitchell's even won with a couple horses that were first-time starters training at Golden Gate, so the theory that you had to have a work over the track may be looking like it's a little less important.
No, I don't have the Sunday PPs in front of me, but there is a Saavedra horse running tomorrow by the name of Tribal Desert that turned in probably, I'd say, one of the best drills over this newly renovated Santa Anita surface that I've seen thus far. It was a half-mile drill. The horse added blinkers and just exploded down the lane after a very leisurely first quarter. I had the horse coming home in 22-2. The rider didn't have to ask. And it was over a deeper track, and no horses were getting over the track that great. And this horse came home in 22-2. So it was just one of those standout drills where I think Saavedra has the horse peaking. He should run his best race, and I think you're going to get a bit of a price. I can't remember what race it's in, but just know the name Tribal Desert, I think, is sitting on a big effort.
Very interesting. Thank you for the tip there. We will certainly try and make the best of it this afternoon. Donald, thank you for joining us, as you do every Saturday, and look forward to getting some more updates from you next week.
Thanks, Gary. Enjoy the day.
For the last couple minutes of our show, we're going to bring in our roving reporter here at Del Mar, Astrid, who we put in charge of keeping track of everything that was going on with the Battle of the X's last Sunday. Of course, our show was on Saturday. Before that, we haven't had a chance to recoup. For those who didn't see, Mike Smith won the Battle of the X's. What was your impression on the feel of the event, how it transpired, the energy in the crowd? Give us some of your thoughts on how that promotion was received.
Hello everyone, Fatter Girl here. Well, the Battle of the X's was really a showdown. We have plenty of people, a lot of women that were supporting Chantal. Unfortunately, she didn't win. I keep saying that wasn't a match race. I mean, there was a lot of people that was really happy with Joker Faith winning this race, but I just would like to see a race that it was actually a match. So hopefully when they're going
to
have
to explain what
event.
You're talking about, I felt a little bit bad for Chantal as well. It was pretty obvious to those of us who work on the backstretch that at about the half-mile pole, Chantal was out of horse, and we didn't get to see a photo finish at the end like we did with Julie Crone and Pat Valenzuela years ago. And I was a little bit disappointed from that. But
me too.
The energy in the crowd and the anticipation certainly was here, Astrid.
Yes, plenty of people were supporting Chantal even at the moment that she just got out of the jockey's room. And like you said, Chantal, even though she was, you know, hitting the horse and was trying to do everything she could to just get a little bit closer to Mike Smith, she just couldn't. So, you know, anyways, the paddock and people in the infield and, you know, at the whole racetrack was supporting Chantal, even though she didn't win, which I think it was really a nice way, you know, to finish this match race.
Certainly
but
was.
Hopefully during the foundation fundraising event, that will actually be a match race.
Maybe she can get
hopefully.
Back at him at the cook-off. Only a few seconds left in the show, Astrid. Give us one quick selection for today's card at Del Mar.
All right, third race, number one, Candy Sweetheart. John Salas is the trainer, and Khaled Pell is going to be on top of the horse. Also combine it with Nijinxi Song, which Valenzuela is going to be on it. So it's 1-2 for the third race. And just, you know, for the stakes race, I think I'll have to go with a check and Ion Jacob. That's all.
Yeah, that horse. Carla Gaines told me this morning she may scratch that horse, so pay attention to that. It's all the time we have for this week. Thanks to all of our sponsors and guests for making the show work. We'll be back next Saturday with more interviews, opinions, and handicapping. Thank you for listening to Del Mar Direct, the home of inside information.